If you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart does perceive. You're talking to me. This word is for me. Hallelujah. I found myself in 1 John this morning, and we're not quite done about the threefold witnesses. And so if you'll go to 1 John chapter 5, that's where we're going to be. Before we hit the word itself with expounding the particulars, I want to remind you that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says we're made up of three parts. Joe was advertising the other day that we are spirit beings, we have a soul, and we live in a body, which is called the temple. And a lot of churches don't recognize that we are spirit beings. All they talk about is your soul and your body. And my brother did such a wonderful job. You can just get a download from Joe and he'll educate you. But the spirit has three parts: wisdom, communion, and conscience. The soul has three parts: the mind, the will, and the emotions. The body also has three parts: flesh, bone, and blood. You say, well, why go back to that? Because it's a foundational thing. If you and I think that we're only a soul and a body, then there's a lot of us that's missing. And I could prove in the word what I'm saying. But St. John specifies threefold witnesses. And that's verse 7 of chapter 5. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. Verse 9 says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Ironic as it may be, again tonight, the Holy Spirit tattled. We talked about the blood. We talked about the power of God. So I want you to back it up now to verse 1. Everyone, chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Oh, why would we have to overcome the world? We're born in it. We're born in the midst of a lot of darkness that most people don't even want to acknowledge. It goes on. To this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So that tells you that if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're lost. You need a transfusion of believing. You need to be able to take the Word of God for what it says and acknowledge it, and then to cry out for help if you have unbelief. Verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. You say, well, what are you getting at? I'm getting at, when the Holy Spirit began in my life to really pressure me to start understanding that the Spirit of God had been given to give birth to the church. And the church will recognize and tell you, oh, the birth of the church came on Pentecost. And they celebrate. But what are they celebrating? They're celebrating a memory. They're celebrating something that they, many, do not have. So how can you celebrate something you don't have and don't understand? All it is giving a conscious awareness that the Word says. And I can remember my old pastor and I having a few arguments. Because when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I got my new language, he was baffled. So much so that he said, well, you do what you do and I'll do what I do. Cut and dry. Okay? That's going to work. Really? Well, did I really know what I was doing? Not any more than the 12 disciples knew what they were really getting into when they said yes to Jesus. And not any more than you know when you said yes to Jesus. Amen. Everything in you is going to be turned upside down and examined.
Yay.
Yay. And what you've cut away will definitely pile up. But he's the one that's cutting it away. And you know, there are things in us that are called carnality. Thinking out of our minds. Out of our education. Out of our upbringing. Out of our traditions. Oh, many people say, oh, if you don't have traditions, you ain't got nothing. I've got news for you. Jesus told these teachers of his day that they were whitewashed tombstones. Twice dead. What a compliment. Coming from the Son of the Most High God, saying to the leaders of his day that they were whitewashed tombstones. Twice dead. What was he referring to? Their soul was dead and their spirit was dead. And they were acting out of their own carnality and would not allow the Holy Spirit to come into them. And they refused the Son of God. And now St. John is saying, if you haven't got the Son, you haven't got the truth. That's pretty scary. With the Son comes the Spirit of truth. When you said to Jesus, come on in, he goes to work. I swear to God, he has the best vacuum cleaner. You're laughing. He's going to definitely clean out every corner of you and me until this temple is ready to be filled with him and with his Spirit. And the more he fills you and me with his Spirit, we become more and more spirit beings. And the brain starts taking a back seat to the soul. The soul has the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? Well, when your mind and your will and your emotions are ruling you, you're going to have a tough sled going. It's going to be rough. Because I know I did it for 37 years without the Holy Ghost. And I had a talk with somebody this past week who was telling me that they were interested in suicide. It's going to be a solution. And I said, it's not a solution. It's a deadly lie. So, I shared with you guys on Sunday that there's a 9-year-old little boy that had to be placed in a place where he would be protected against himself so he wouldn't commit suicide. 9-year-old boy. You say, wait a minute. Are you saying that even a child will be under attack? Yes. Yes. It doesn't start just when you're an adult. It starts when you're kids. It starts to form a foundation in order for you to really believe that you're hopeless and useless. But when the Spirit of Truth comes in, he starts vacuuming. And he goes around in the corners that you don't even know you own. And he'll remind you of memories that you've been through. Mm-hmm. And he says to you, son, will you give that whole situation to me, that abusive situation that you went through? Will you give it to me so that I can heal it? And I'll tell you truthfully, I had an argument once in a while with the Lord. I don't know if I'm ready. My first big argument with God came at Mount Marie in Holyoke. I was there for a charismatic retreat, the first one in my life. Okay? And there's a bunch of Catholics full of Holy Ghost. They're scary.
Yeah.
Okay? And we were scary. And we had this special service on a Saturday night. And I'm sitting at the end of the pew. And all of a sudden, the music is playing, you know, and there's worship going on. And it's really, really nice, you know. But all of a sudden, I'm not there. I'm in a big black hole. I mean black. Black where there's no light anywhere. And I'm praying and saying inside my heart, where am I? Where am I? And it won't go away. And there's no light anywhere, not even a spark. But you see, several weeks or months, actually it was quite a few months earlier, Holy Spirit had come into my heart. And he already had his vacuum cleaner going. And I heard very soft voice. Said, will you forgive your dad? And you know what the first response was?
No.
No. No. I said, Lord, where am I? I mean, it's black. It's blacker than black. And I heard you're in the womb. And I thought, oh my God. Must have been hell in there. You know, what do you think? You know, your brain is going 110 miles an hour. And then I heard it again. Will you forgive your dad for rejecting you? I remember trying to say the words, making the choice to say, yes, Lord. And when I said yes, this is what I saw. Right above my head, way, way up in that blackness, was a little tiny speck. It wasn't any bigger than the head of a pin. and it was pure explosive white. And it started to come down, and I could feel it coming down, and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And when it hit my head, it went like poof, and the light exploded inside of me. Anybody think that that didn't have an impact on me? The tears flooded. I couldn't stop. It just wouldn't shut down. What's wrong with you, Kim? Nothing. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. Totally embarrassed. Then, of course, they're all going to lay hands on me, and I want to run the other way. What was God doing? The Spirit of Truth had impacted me, and He was on the job. Yes. And I'm a bunch of Catholics filled with the Holy Ghost. Linda's one of those. And I could go around and point to different people that came out of different backgrounds, but all with one purpose, the Spirit of Truth. And that Spirit of Truth impacted me in such a way that for the days and weeks ahead, I was flying higher than a kite. I mean, when I was, say, flying higher than a kite, there was nobody that's going to pull me down. And they tried. I can also say to you that I couldn't talk about it. There was no way I could communicate any of it because it was so intensely personal. Because again, that was my Pentecost. Oh, I got the gift of tongues. But what to me was more important was the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth started that house cleaning, and I'll tell you, He hasn't quit yet.
Oh, wonderful.
He has not quit. You know why? Because I've got little corners that I still hold on to. Oh, come on now. Oh, and he got little corners? Thank you. Those little corners, don't hide them. Give them to Him. Those little places where you wonder, how am I going to make it with this mess? Well, you have a mind, you have a will, and you have emotions. And there was a season He told me to give up my will. Give it to Him. Let Your plan unfold, Lord Jesus. And I would say it out loud just to convince myself. You didn't hear me. I would say, Lord, let Your plan unfold, because I didn't want to believe it. And I didn't want to let it go. But I would say it in faith. And saying it in faith, asking Him to give me the courage and the willingness to let go of some of the things that had happened. Am I going into all the details? No. But I want you to see. Again, verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only. Was He baptized? Yeah. But by water and blood. Did He shed His blood on the cross? Yes. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has, I'm sorry, anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. As I was reading that, I'm reminded to give you a little bit of reasoning of why my father did not really want me to be in my mother's womb. I'm the 21st child of my dad. He wasn't ready for another son or a daughter. It didn't matter. It was not something that he was ready for. My biological mother, who did not bring me up, nor did my biological father. They gave me away when I was 9 months old. But they gave me away 3 times. And so now, you know, I'm probably 37 or 38 at the time of that particular experience. But it was life-changing. And I say it to you, not to advertise me, but to advertise the power and love of the Holy Spirit that's in each and every one of you. And not to set it aside lightly, but to realize that he's house cleaning and all you have to do is cooperate. You got a corner in your life that you can't handle? Give it to him. And I'll tell you, there's a piece of you that's going to say, oh, don't be so quick. You might need it later. Ah! Yeah. And I could give you quite a few things that I could argue with God about giving him. Just close your eyes right now. And put one hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You are able to do a work.
You are able to do a work.
If I let you.
If I let you.
And just like Judas, who made a decision, to betray the Son of God, I could do the same.
I could do the same.
And the Holy Spirit, will back off.
But
if I choose by an act of my will, to give him some pain that I've carried, for Kim, it was rejection.
For
me, it might be other things that are personal. And it's between me and the Lord. So I'm asking you now for the grace to do the house cleaning that needs to be done so that I will reach my destination in the eternal. Because I'm an eternal spirit. Because of Christ Jesus in me. The Spirit of Truth is on the job. And he's going to do a marvelous work. Because he's given me grace.
And more grace.
And more favor.
And more favor.
Than ever before. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And you're commissioned to carry some joy to your neighbors and a hug before you leave. I pray that you will be blessed and remain blessed.